Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone. Yes, I certainly did respond quickly. I think we should have met long before, and I apologise in some ways that we did not, because I think the interests of where town centres are going and where libraries are going are very closely related. And we need much more, I think, for you working in the libraries field to work with people who are seeking to manage our town centres and to change them. And what I want to do this afternoon is run through some of the background to that, some of the changes that are taking place. Some you will be familiar with, some perhaps might be a surprise. But really to look at what that means for the future of our town centres, and then the roles of libraries within it. And I think you can play a very important part in the change that is happening. We just have to think about the best way of doing that. So thank you for inviting me. Let me repeat the slide. Let me just tell you a little bit about the Institute, first of all. We're the international professional body and learned society for people who are seeking to make places better. We're based at Manchester Metropolitan University, but we have members in about 30 countries around the world. Some of them are practitioners, people who are managing town city centres, either through a private structure with a business improvement district or through a partnership of some extent. Some are researchers and some are policymakers, and we have a lot of local authorities and governments who are involved. And these are people who are both managing places, making places, those who are involved in marketing, and those involved in visiting places, but only in the sense of responsible tourism. We have major concerns about tourism as a whole, but how do we actually manage them and make them better places? So we provide the kind of things the Institute would do, training courses, do research, and indeed run master's programmes for people doing this work. But a lot of our work has been looking at town centres. My background is really working with town centres as a town centre manager and working with them around the world. And we were becoming increasingly concerned about what was happening to our town centres. And the headlines you will have seen, as multiple retailers are closing, real concerns growing about the change that is underway. And this is despite a lot of effort over quite a number of years by government to say, we have the policy that will save our town centres. We're going to change planning policy and prevent out-of-town development. Well, the policy changed, the out-of-town development continued. I know we got no more mega schemes, the Merry Hills, the big large out-of-town centres that were really impressive, but we got lots of retail parks and lots of food going out of town. So that didn't really work. And we went through various processes of inventing ways of looking after them, from town centre management to business improvement districts. Government looked and looked again, and we were just discussing Bill Grimsey, you will realise, a retailer who has also been very interested in what this change might mean. And then we had Mary Portas with the headlines. But it's only really in the last year that a lot of work has started to be done, and I think government has realised the seriousness of what is going on in our town centres. That we can't just keep thinking everything will turn out all right. So in the last year, we've been doing a lot of work with government, with the Minister, Secretary of State, and indeed with others, the House of Commons committee that has looked at this. And some good ideas have come out. But let's have a look at, first of all, at what the issue is. We've seen stores closing. We've seen stores closing since the beginning of the 1900s as bigger retailers took over space. And you'll see from 1950 to 2012, we lost about 200,000 stores. This isn't just town centres, this is overall stores. But now in the current decade, we're going to lose 100,000 more. So it took 60 years to lose 200,000 and just a decade to lose 100,000. And these store closures are not actually even, because London is still a buoyant trading location, South East as well. Their high streets are doing pretty well. Stores are continuing to trade. But if you move further away from there, into the north and into Wales, 25% of stores have closed in some of these centres. Now, this has increased retail vacancy, but perhaps not as much as this data immediately suggests, because some of those stores close as a shop, but open as a coffee bar or something else, so the numbers aren't immediately apparent. But it's having a significant impact. And out-of-town was a key driver of this. And our analysis doing research has looked at this in many centres. When you have an out-of-town development within 10 miles of the centre, 30% of footfall disappears to out-of-town. So this was something that was occurring way ahead of online retailing. I mentioned Mary Hill earlier. When Mary Hill went from close to Dudley, retail footfall in Dudley fell 78%. So sometimes this impact is very significant indeed. So out of town to spend away from town centres, but online is doing the same. And this is looking at the growth of online retailing in the UK. Last year, the Office for National Statistics said it was 18% of retail expenditure. And forecasters think it will reach 30% within a decade. And some, in fact, are forecasting now 35%. As you see, this growth is over a very short period. And it's interesting. This is the overall spend that's going online. But when you look at the breakdown, food we still like to go and buy. We obviously know of deliveries by Ocado and others. But food on the whole, we still go and buy in person. But this offline, the non-food is really where the spend is going. And in some categories, that's already over 40%, heading to 50%. And as you know, books very early on were things that went online. But other sectors like electrics are also going there. We are actually the world's best online shoppers. It has been significant right from the beginning that actually we adapted to this much more rapidly. Partially because our big retailers, the big multiples, invested in online stores. Partially because we have the logistics in this country. And partially because we're a nation of credit card owners. So we were able to adapt as well. And this is very good for our GDP. It's just not very good for our town centres. So what you see there are the 10 largest countries by online share. So that's not going back to, many of them are far smaller than Japan, obviously, but we are still out there in the lead. And what it's done is taken money out of town centres. And so the retail expenditure that goes into town centres in the 1970s was about 75%, with the rest in neighbourhoods and catalogues. But it had fallen steadily because of out-of-town retailing, and despite all the changes in policy, despite all this commitment that I showed you earlier by governments to town centres, it's continuing to leach away. And so we've seen this drop come forward. But it's not just retailing that has been closing in our town centres. You'll be aware of bank branches closing, 3,000 last year. We're seeing travel agents close and forecasts of quite large numbers in the next 2 years. Even Swinton Insurance is closing 40% of its outlets. And for estate agents, one forecast says 7,500 are set to close by 2022. So these were all drivers of activity in town centres. There were reasons people came into town, and when they're in town, they may visit your library or they may not. But what we're seeing is that people are now not coming into town. And this is looking at footfall data across about 150 centres around the UK as measured by Springboard on a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week basis. And each year for the last decade, footfall on the high street has fallen. This is actually counting in high streets rather than in shopping centres. And that decline we thought was easing a little bit until last year, when again, a bigger blow occurred. So this is the challenge. What is happening to our town centres is quite fundamental. It's very clear from the data that there's going to be a continued growth in online shopping. We're going to be moving away. And you're seeing now that many retailers overexpanded. They were very keen to get into different towns. At one point, to have a national multiple offer, you needed to be in 250 locations. The data now says that you can make do with 70. So many places that had multiple retailers are seeing them disappear. But more change is coming. And so this is really the challenge as we look forward to what will our high streets be like in the future. We're already seeing things like this. I mean, the Christmas market in Manchester, big growth in Christmas markets, driving a lot of footfall into town city centres. But it's not just Christmas markets. Other markets are adapting. And you may have seen in many of the northern cities where the traditional markets, they've been refurbished recently, the indoor covered markets. They're trading longer hours. They're seeking to bring people in who would perhaps never previously have visited a market. And we've seen the growth in specialist markets, and particularly in London, we've seen the growth in new street markets, particularly food-related. We're seeing a much wider range of food on offer, and again, at different times to the traditional way. So that's one way in which we're changing. But we're also seeing changes within retail in response to this. We've seen the growth of the sharing economy, this idea that perhaps you won't go into a shop to buy something, but to borrow it or hire it for a period of time. Norwich became the first sharing city in the UK a few months ago. But many people now, for things as wide-ranging as baby clothes to toys, are going through this process of sharing. And we're seeing the development of many of these shops and places. Because of the growth of technology, retailers know a lot more about you. And as we go forward over the next few years, AI, the Internet of Things, will mean they know even more. And this allows for personalization. Very much more you will be going into a store or you'll be walking along a high street, and the retailer that you're passing will know all about you, not just your sizes and preferences, but how you've changed your wardrobe and other things. It may mean that we do less shopping because I'm told our fridges will order our food for us in a very few years. But this sense of personalization will change retailing very dramatically. We're seeing a growth in pop-ups. You don't just go to the town centre for the same old thing. So markets have always been pop-ups, but we're seeing shops units that come in for short times. We're seeing entertainment and events popping up in places. And this will be the future. We want new experiences. But our shops are also offering much more. And again, I think here there's a clue for libraries. It's going beyond what you traditionally do. This is a shop in Bristol, which was sold wool and various other things. But now, most of the day, that shop is full of classes and people learning and people doing learning how to knit, to crochet, to do all kinds of other things. They're extending into the evenings. We're seeing shops now opening. I was in one in Altrincham the other day that doesn't actually sell anything. It just offers courses in various craft things. Many bakers are now teaching you to bake, doing other things. And we'll see a lot more of this, the actual idea that it will then help people buy the products. Experiential retailing is perhaps not necessarily related directly to the thing, but these two lads in this shop in the Netherlands sold men's clothes and trade was falling. And they talked to some of their customers and said, how do we get more customers? And initially the idea was, well, let's have free coffee when we come in. So they started doing that. And after a short while, someone said, if only it was beer. So they started brewing their own beer. So you go in there and you have, as you can see behind them, bottles of their own brewed beer. And this has increased turnover very significantly for that shop. I'm not sure everyone could do it, but you know. And then even the big retailers, this is Target in the bottom corner here in the States. Retailtainment, they opened a shop that sold nothing. It just offered an experience in order to get people feeling what technology could do. But we did work in the autumn last year with the Minister for the High Street and his expert panel that was led by Sir John Timpson. And what Sir John wanted to do, he obviously understood retailing, but he said, what do people, real people, want from their high street? How are they using their high street? Instead of listening to all the people from the trade associations and others who are making a case for investment in retail, etc., he said, let's go and talk to real people. So we as the Institute organised 6 workshops for him in different towns around the country, deliberately going to different scale places. And we got groups of people between 30 and 50 in each place and spent 3 hours with them saying, here is the change that is happening in your high street. How would you see your high street in 2030? And yes, they wanted independent retailing, and yes, they wanted food retailing, possibly from markets and things. But they wanted all these other things. A huge list of other things came up from people that saw this as something that should be offered in high streets. Now, in many ways, this is turning the clock back. I think you can almost argue that in our high streets, retail throttled out other uses. It became the dominant decider of what a town centre was like. But historically, our town centres had all these other things. And included in those other things, obviously, are libraries. And what people were telling us is this is what they want to come in for. And what was even more important is they don't want to do this between 9 and 5. They want to do this at all hours of the day. So the agenda, we think, for town centres going forward is how do we deliver on these things? And we've been doing research which has been looking at this because ultimately we think what is important in a town is that it has both vitality and viability. Vitality is all about busyness now. Viability is its potential to attract investment in the longer term. And we looked at what this means, and there's been a lot of research done to discuss vitality and viability. Some arguing that more car parking would make the difference. Others arguing that if you improve the retail offer. A lot of academic research. And we also worked with towns around the country and said to them, here's what the academics say. What do you think? And out of that combined process, we ended up with 201 things that can influence the vitality and viability of a high street. And some of these, I think, again, have an impact on individual units or individual occupiers within that high street. 201 is too big an agenda to tackle. So we wanted to prioritise it, to identify to local partnerships, local groups, local authorities, what they should do. So we asked 22 experts, some were practitioners, some were researchers, to independently rate these 201 things. Firstly, how much impact they did have, and secondly, how much were controllable locally, because we were interested in local initiatives. And this is what we ended up with, a lovely scatter graph of things. The further you come this way, the more a factor influences vitality and viability. The more you go up, the more control you have locally. And that helped us to plot and understand what should be the priorities, because we said these things you can forget about. They have little influence, little control. These things you have to live with. It does matter where you are in the country, as we showed with the vacancy data or the shop closure data. You're going to be doing better in the southeast than you are in Wales, but you've just got to live with that. These things are not worth it. If you've got loads of volunteers, let them get on with some of them, but they should not be the priorities that you're addressing in your town centre, whereas these things should be. And as you saw, there are quite a lot of dots under there, but when we did some statistical analysis, worked further with our experts, we ended up with 25 things that we believe towns should be focused on. And one of those key things is activity hours. You'll see it up in the top right-hand corner. And this is about not only the opening hours of stores and services and things within a town centre, but it's about the evening economy. It's about when the town itself is open. When do buses run? When do trains run? Because more and more we lead our lives online, and we want to do that 24 hours a day. What people were telling us, if they could go into their town centre, go into those facilities at all times when they felt like it, it would be a much more positive use of the town. Things like appearance are important. You know, people want to feel they're in a nice place, but they want to have all these other things. And we have all these on our website, and I'll give you a connection to our website later. It's all free research because it was funded by ESLC. But I think some of these things are not only about a town centre, but it'd be a very useful experience to look at your library and to see to what extent some of these things cross over. But one of the things was towns are already changing. And this was always how people in the literature said towns would perform during the course of a year. That footfall increases steadily until we come to Christmas. When we looked at the performance of towns, we found that is only true in 20% of locations now. Those are the places that are still prime retailing destinations, where retail Christmas shopping dominates. But other kinds of towns exist. And in some ways, towns were not paying attention to this. They hadn't recognised that actually they functioned in a different way. So summer holiday towns with a summer peak, some places like the speciality ones down here, a lot of them, have cathedrals, city walls, museums, other things that actually generate visitors. And then the multifunctional ones often have big employment centres, or universities, hospitals, other things that generate footfall on a regular basis. So we wanted towns to look at what they were and to say some of the solutions we have to come up with are appropriate for this kind of town. So we developed a process, again through research and through looking at a long-term project, which actually said, if you're going to change your town, and one of the reasons I'm showing you this is I think if you're going to change your library as well, there are certain processes you can go through that will help. And the first of these is repositioning. And what we felt with this is lots of people we talked to were making decisions about their town without actually knowing what was going on. So do you have data? Do you know how your centre is changing? Do you have that sense of which of those four types of town it is? Do you know where people are coming from? Are you tracking what is going on? Everyone sees a headline of a store closing, but how many are closing? Is it really closing? What's been driving that? So first of all, get your facts right about the place that you're looking at. Understand it intently. Secondly, do you understand the people who are using your town? Do you know where they're coming from? Do you know what their socio-demographic makeup is? Do you know what their desires are? And is your town a place that's attracting visitors from further afield? And even big retailers don't pay much attention to people who come from further afield. They think it's too difficult to understand them. But we don't think it is in the long run if people work together. Then rebranding. I mean, one of the things is so many towns put out negative messages. And I think here, again, libraries perhaps have had negative messages. They haven't been saying the right thing to people. And you have to think about how you communicate what has happened in your library, how it is different, just as we do in town centres. And that means something that's shared. So almost everyone in your town centre is giving a positive message. You've probably all got in a taxi where someone's told you, the taxi driver, how terrible the place is. So yeah, how do you convince them? How do you involve them? Share information with them? And then restructuring. And we think here there's a fundamental problem that in many towns we just look to the local authority to make decisions. And they necessarily now, with cuts, haven't got the expertise or the knowledge. And we're missing out on all this knowledge that the community has. Not just the traders, but people who live there who use it. Bearing in mind that people of different ages need to be involved in this process. And again, I think if you're thinking about the future of your library, it isn't just the people who now use it, but the people who potentially will use it going forward. And we think that there's also opportunities now, because of closures, to make large-scale physical restructuring in town centres. So, in summary, when we're thinking about a strategy for how we go forward, we believe it's important to firstly know that town, secondly, change perceptions, make sure you're communicating a positive message, but also make the changes necessary in order to say how this centre will go forward. I wanted to finish with just a few more slides, which connects to libraries. I was lucky enough to go with Bill Grimsey last year to Belgium. Most of you probably know this case study of Roeselare, where the library was rebuilt as a kind of centre for the whole area, a hub, with many activities going on. There are meeting rooms, there's places for students to use. It trades their long hours. Many of these things we're now seeing in big cities in this country and elsewhere. But what's important is that this library is right in the centre of Roeselare. And I think this idea that it's open and transparent is very important. Altrincham is another place we've done a lot of work in. And as you know, Altrincham Library has been rebuilt. To me, the most critical thing is not necessarily, it's perhaps not quite as open and transparent, but it is there in the heart of the town. It's adjacent to the market. And I understand they have, you can access it 24 hours if you have a library card. There's many more things Altrincham Library could probably do. But this idea that libraries are an important part of the change to town centres, that they're things we're going to use at all kinds of different hours, but they're part of the complexity of change that's happening. People coming in for health, for wellness, for education, for learning, all these other kinds of things, and libraries are an important part of that. Finally, there are two reports. Again, you can link to these from our website. They're both on the government website. The High Street report was Sir John Timpson's report with his expert panel. They really thought very brave things, I think, about how we've got to change our high streets. And our report was an accompanying report, Achieving Change, which goes into much more detail about some of the things that I've just said to you, and refers back to some of our earlier research. We would very much, speaking as a person involved with town centres, like to involve you as librarians and you as libraries in the changes that are happening in our town centres. This is what the World Economic Forum had to say a couple of years ago when it looked at high streets around the world. And it was very concerned about the changes. But it said they can be different places. They can be these rich, engaging and specialised experiences. I believe libraries are an important part of that. And what I realised from my own experience is that, to be honest, most place management partnerships in town centres do not have much engagement with you as libraries. They've taken you for granted. You perhaps have thought that there's not much engagement you should have with them. So my challenge to you is find out if you have a business improvement district, find out if you have a place management partnership, or find out who in the council is leading on the future of the town centre, and engage with them and talk to them. And you may be a catalyst that starts further change. You may be a venue that people can use for all kinds of purposes. Or you may benefit from the marketing they're doing about how that place is changing and be able to actually then make sure your library is a healthier and more sustainable location. This is why I wanted to come. I'm very enthused by the changes that are happening with libraries. But I think we've got a great challenge as we go forward, and we look forward to working with you. Thank you.